Malachi in the chapter 1, it's the verse number 6 that I want to leave with you this morning. Perhaps you can read number 6 with me. Malachi 1, verse 6. A son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. Amen. We'll end our reading there. There is any number of people today that will readily say that they worship God. There is any number of people that will tell you that they are Christians, that they are a believer. There are plenty of people that have convinced themselves that they are the children of God. But they are nothing of the sort. Unconverted, unsaved, and know not the Lord. That's not a new phenomenon in our modern day. That was the case here in Malachi's day, and that's why verse number 6 is actually written here. A son honoureth his father, a servant his master. If I am a father, where is my honour? If I am a master, where is my fear? The Lord is challenging the people of that day. You say that you're my people, but you do not live, you do not obey, and you do not serve me. There's a New Testament phrase, you'll know it well. By their fruit ye shall know them. By their fruit ye shall know them. That's a very simple statement. How do you know an orange tree? If you took me out today, you'd be hard pushed to find an orange tree here. But if we were in a different country during the winter and you took me to a tree and you asked me what kind of tree it was, I wouldn't have a clue. But when it comes to the summertime, it will begin to produce its fruit. Whether it will be oranges, or to keep the analogy over here, let's say it's apples, whatever. You'll know by the fruit what kind of tree it is. And that's simply what the Lord's saying. It's by our fruit we know what we are. To be honest, men and women, it doesn't really matter what we say we are. It's quite irrelevant. People will say, I'm a Christian. People will say, I'm a believer. It's not what we say, it's what we do that demonstrates indeed who we actually are. You see, we're always prone to think the best of ourselves. We're always prone to think the best of ourselves. Very practically, none of us would say we're 10 years older looking now than we were 10 years ago. We always like to think we're not aging that much. And that's why we don't like photos of ourselves, because photos tell the truth. And that's why we don't like mirrors, because mirrors tell the truth. You are indeed 10 years older looking than you were 10 years ago. Whether you like to think it or not is completely irrelevant. You are. We like to think the best of ourselves. And maybe that's true spiritually. We tend to look at ourselves and we want to be better, and we describe ourselves as better than we actually are. The Word of God, we are told in Scripture, is like a mirror. Perhaps you can go with me in your copy there of the Word of God to 2 Corinthians, please. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And the chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And the verse 18. We took a Sabbath day to discuss and learn from this verse. You may recall. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. And that word glass means a mirror. The glory of the Lord. are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now what that verse is doing there, it's describing the scriptures as being like a mirror. And when you and I look in a mirror, we see a reflection. What this verse is teaching is, when we look into the Word of God, we see an image, we see Christ. That's the teaching of that verse. But it's also true in the Word of God, that the Word of God paints us for ourselves. It's like a mirror where we see our own reflection. We see our own reflection. And therefore, men and women, reading the Word of God ought to be a terror to our souls. It ought to be an encouragement as well to see Christ. But it ought to be a terror as the Word of God shows us exactly what we are and who we are. As Isaiah puts it, full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The Word of God isn't as concerned with showing you your face as it is with showing you your soul. You and I look in the mirror, and you will see the signs of death in the mirror, because you're aging and you're dying. As you'll see in a physical mirror, in the Word of God, you will see a soul that is full of death and sin, a body that is full of death and sin. Because we are fallen men and women in need of being saved by the grace of God. Let's put it this way as well. Physically, well, not so much men, certainly ladies, but men probably as well, with gel and whatever else. We tend to cover over the effects of death. Well, that's by using makeup or particular clothing or whatever. We try to conceal all the evidences of death and old age. And truth be told, it doesn't cure you. It doesn't take aging away. It only covers it. So it doesn't help you at all in the long run. But then we tend to do the same with our soul. We try to hide the death of our soul by maybe acting well. And going to church and talking the talk and so on. And all you're doing is covering the reality that your soul is dead in trespasses and in sins. And it's very simple. Makeup only covers, it does not cure. And you try to make up your soul, as it were, cover over the cracks and the badness. And all you're doing is covering it, you're not curing it. I'm afraid I have no special liquid here that cures you from the effects of death in your physical frame. But I do have this morning the cure for your soul, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm not concerned with you living a very nice and a good life and covering up your sin. I want to see you going to Christ for the cure and being saved today, knowing that Christ is yours. That's what Malachi chapter 1 and the verse 6 is all about. A son honoureth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear? You see, there were people, and they were hypocrites. They had convinced themselves that they were the people of God. But they were living in outright rebellion. They were not honouring God. They did not fear God. They served and lived for God on their own terms, what suited them. God required the sacrifice. They gave just whatever they get their hands on. And stuck it into the temple and thought, that'll do all right. You don't serve God in your terms. You serve God in His terms. Very practical illustration the Lord uses here. He uses that of a father and of a servant. We'll just focus on the father right now. It says, a son honoureth his father. A son will honour his father. Just on a very practical level here. Why does any son or daughter, for that matter, honour their father or their mother, their parent? Why do parents deserve to be honoured? Why do they deserve to be obeyed? Well, there's a whole host of reasons. I suppose the first that jumps to mind is you owe your existence to them. You wouldn't even be alive today if it were not for them. So you owe your existence to them. So essentially, if you gave every living moment you have to your parents, well, that's fair enough because you wouldn't even be here without them. That's a reality. He provided you, or your father, or your parents, provided you with a home, provided you with love, provided you with learning. They provide for you. You owe your existence to them. You owe those early days of provision to them. Great sacrifice for your upbringing. That's why they deserve honour today. Even beyond this, a father and a mother have a particular rank in life, and their rank deserves honour. Again, you go into the army, you will have the different ranks you go through, and you may come to one of the highest commanders. That man has not brought you into the world, nor has he done much for you, but purely on the basis of his rank, you ought to obey him. And it is the same when it comes, we'll stick to the phrase in this passage, the father. The same applies when it comes to your father. Your existence you owe to him. The provision he gave to you. His rank. They all demand your honour. And honour, when the Bible says honour your father and mother, it means respect. It means not only in word. It's not only paying lip service to your physical father right now we're talking about. It's not only saying, Dad, I'm thankful you're my father. Whatever. It's not only lip service, it's actions. That's real obedience. That's real honour. Honour means an inward attitude of esteem. The Greek word means to revere, to prize, to value. So think of that when it says honour your father and mother, revere, prize, value your father and your mother. Out of appreciation for what they've done, out of the reality that they brought you into the world, and because of their rank. But can I take it from another angle? What if you have grown up in your house and you have seen much wrong that your parents have done? Failed you in so many levels. Do they still deserve your honour? Yes. Absolutely. They still have brought you into the world. But as well, you might have, let's say, Parliament or the Prime Minister. He might do things, and he does do things, that we don't personally agree with. But we still have to respect his rank, his office. He's still in that governing position. It's the same with your parents. Even when there's things you don't entirely agree with, they are still your parents. And you still must honour them. When it comes to breaking the word of God, you obey God's word, but you still value the parent. As the one who brought you into the world, the one whom God has sovereignly brought you into the world through. Now, that's the earthly father. That's the illustration that's been used here in Malachi chapter 1. But what about our heavenly father? Does not the heavenly father deserve honour? Very much so. How do you honour even your father? Well, in one aspect, if your father gives you a command or tells you to do something, you do it. You obey. And that is your action of honour. Your obedience. It's unquestionable. Now, God has given plenty of commands in Scripture. God has said particular things that men and women ought to do or ought not to do. And I wonder today, how do you view the commands of God? Do you see them as little more than requests? It's like someone asking you, oh, could you please do this? That is not the case. When God gives a command, it is to be obeyed, regardless to what you think or do or anything else. It is to be obeyed. You see, today, if you're not obeying God, I'll tell you why. If you're not obeying God, it's because you are not a child. It's because you're not saved. If you're not living in obedience to God, it's because your father is the devil. This is very clean and clear cut. If you're not obeying God, it's because you do not know him at all. You don't know him. Again, as I said the other week, there are many, and if you're the same, you maybe see God as an old gentleman who sits on his throne, and he's quite chilled out. He's very relaxed. He's not particularly bothered whether you obey him or not. He's asked you to do things, but if you don't do them, well, he understands that you're not perfect and you make mistakes, and it's all okay. That's the kind of God that you worship. But can I tell you? That is a God. And I'll tell you his name. It's the devil. That's exactly what the devil's like. He is not one bit bothered whether you obey God or not. If you don't obey God's commands, he's pretty chilled out about that. That's fine. Don't worry about it. You let the odd word slip, which is very much inappropriate, indeed blasphemy. But again, your father's not really too worried. It's fine. Listen, it's only a wee word that's worthy of you being damned in hell forevermore. It's only blasphemy. You see, your father is the devil. God has said, take one day to remember me. Spend the Sabbath day with me. Get to know me. Take that one day of the week and spend it in the Word of God, in the house of God, and enjoy the Lord. But you'll take that day and do your own thing. Maybe to do some shopping, or maybe to do some visiting, or maybe to do some sightseeing, or maybe to do some kind of entertainment. And what does your father, the devil, say to you? It's fine. It's fine. You'll keep the Sabbath day whenever you get a chance. Whenever you get a chance, whenever you get time, whenever you get this sorted and that sorted, then you'll keep the Sabbath day. If those are all thoughts, things that went through your mind, it's because your God, or your father is not God. Your father is the devil. When God gives a command, whoever said you have the option of obeying or not obeying, you don't have an option. When God gives a command, it's there to be obeyed. So if God gives a command, and in your own heart and your own mind, well, you think there's an option whether you obey or not, well, that's because your father's the devil. And he doesn't care whether you obey or not in the first place. You will obey your father. And who have you been obeying for all these years? God's word or the devil? When I was a child, if there was a man, let's say my next door neighbour, and he came and he said to me, David, go and clean your room. I don't look at him and I thought, you're not my dad. You've no right to tell me that. If my neighbour would have come to me and said to me, David, listen, jump into the car, I'm going to take you away for a few days, you would run for your worth and go to your real dad. You see, a son will obey his father. Not just out of, fear, or not just out of, just that relationship between son and father, but a child will obey their father because there's trust there. My dad would have said to me, jump down in the car, we're going to go for a few days. I would have been in the car before he had time to turn around. You see the difference? When you have a real father, you will obey that father. And if you are not obeying God, it's because your father is not God. He's the devil. You're not saved. You're unconverted. But listen, don't worry about it this morning. It's fine. You know, someday, somehow, somewhere, you'll Something will just happen. You'll get saved and it'll be fine. Just don't worry about it. And if you're saved, you'll be sitting there thinking, what on earth did that minister just say? The statement I just made there has cut the whole congregation in half. If it's only a matter of you sitting around and just waiting and someday God will save you, every child of God in this house will know, hang on. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. Because men and women, you are required to seek God, to call upon God. It is your father, the devil, who says, sit down, relax, and forget about it. It is God who says, call upon me. Today is the day of salvation. Get right with me. That's what the Lord says. The devil says, sit back and don't worry about it. Who have you been obeying? Maybe you're here today. And you sit under a man who is a Calvinist. And I am a Calvinist. I believe in election because it's taught in the Word of God. And I would fear that you would leave the house of God and you would be convinced, well, if I'm elect, I'll get saved anyway. If God has chosen some people, well, then I'm okay. I'm going to get saved anyway. If that is your opinion, dear unconverted, you will end up in hell with that kind of theology. In hell. If you're sitting there thinking, I'll just wait for God to come along and save me someday, you get on your knees, for you have committed a capital sin. A capital sin. And I'll tell you exactly why. You are arrogant. You are stuck up. You're a thorough, hell-deserving sinner. Because what you have just said is that God wants me, he's going to have to come and get me because I'm not going to seek for him. That's what you're saying. If you're waiting for God to come and just turn around and click his fingers and bang, you're saved, you're going to be disappointed. God has said, you will find me when you seek for me. Your problem, dear unconverted, your problem is this: you do not love God. Because if you loved him, you would run to him, and you would be on your knees, and you would be praying for forgiveness for all your sins and for all your iniquities. Your understanding of election doesn't exist. It's a fable that you teach yourself. It's a hope that is not real. The only hope that anyone has is calling upon God for mercy to save your everlasting soul. You see, if you're not saved, you'll never understand election. It's like taking a blind man and trying to tell a blind man, trying to describe to a blind man what a rainbow's like. How could you do that to someone who's been blind all his life? You'll completely fail. If you're unconverted, you'll never understand election. But maybe I can give you one little thing to at least begin to point you in the right direction. As I've said before, when God says, I have chosen the people to save, let's take the word chosen and change it to the word promise. I have promised to save a people. And he said, I have promised to save that people when they call on me. There are people whom I will save, and I will save them when they call upon me. So if you never call upon God, you will never be saved. So your idea of sitting back and just waiting someday until God hits you between the eyes is the devil's lie. It's time to get on your knees. Time to employ the means that God has given that men and women might be saved. A son honoureth his father. If you're a real son, you will honour your father. You'll trust your father. But can I say this as well? God has given commandments. The same way a father might have rules for his house. And you might know those rules. And you might know, have a knowledge of God's law, but God's law means nothing if you do not obey it. It means nothing. The only thing that means to you, if God's law is not obeyed by you, the only thing that God's law will do is damn your soul all the more. Because you would not be going to hell like the pagan who is completely ignorant of God's commands, of God's words, to call upon him and to trust in him. You would not be going to hell ignorant. You'd be going to hell completely aware that you need to call upon God, that you need to live this life which God has set before man. You can't do it. You never have. You never will. You'll go to hell as one who, knowing God's law, yet never obeyed. There's a verse in Scripture. I'll not turn you to it, but it's found in 1 Samuel 15:22. And what it says there is, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. God looks chiefly, men and women, for obedience. God is looking for your obedience, without which sacrifice is nothing. It's empty. Think of it this way. You have a king. He might publish an edict. He might make a rule. Why do kings make rules? So that they are obeyed. And those who disobey will have the punishment that goes with it. But Christ has made, God has given us the word. He's given us his commands. And they are not there for just good advice. The Bible's not a recommended lifestyle. It's a command. There's not one person in this room who will perfectly obey God, that's for sure. Not one. No one will ever perfectly obey God. And so that's why, men and women, we must look to Jesus Christ. It's not that Jesus Christ just went to the cross and died for us. It's the fact that he lived an obedient lifestyle. To obey is better than sacrifice. And God says obedience is required. I can't obey, but Christ has obeyed. So you must trust in Christ to live a life that you cannot live. And he's died for your sins. And there is salvation. Men and women, obedience to God the Father isn't what you decide it will be. You don't obey God on your terms. You don't obey God whenever it suits you or do what suits you. Listen, if your father, when you were a child, if your father said to you, go and wash the dishes, and you thought to yourself, well, I don't really want to wash the dishes, so what I'll do is I'll go up, I'll brush my hair and I'll wash my face. Is that obedience? Of course not. Obviously that's not obedience. Yet that is the very thing that multitudes do with God. God has said, hallow the Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath day. That's one day in seven. And there will be multitudes who will say, well, it doesn't really suit me this Sunday. So maybe, just a random example, maybe I'll take a day off work sometime and I'll watch a film on the Ten Commandments, or I'll watch Hollywood's production of Moses or something. Is that obedience? No, of course it's not. God has said to hallow the Sabbath day. God has given the list of Ten Commandments there, and they must be obeyed. This is the Sabbath day. And you're in God's house. It doesn't say the Sabbath morning. It says the Sabbath day. That's a 24-hour period. Which, in my opinion, starts 12 o'clock Saturday night, concludes 12 o'clock tonight. A Sabbath day. A 24-hour period. Not to do what you want, but to do what God has commanded. But then again, the question is, who is your father? If you are a child of God, you'll obey God. If you're a child of the devil, you'll obey the devil. Our obedience, men and women, must correspond with Scripture. When we obey, we must obey what God has said. Our ideas of obedience is not obedience. Like as I said, if a father said, wash the dishes, you go and wash your face. That's not obedience. If anything, it's mockery. And I suppose a great example of this is the Church of Rome. God has said what he requires his people to do. And the Church of Rome have any number of traditions, any number of rituals, whether it's pilgrimages, lighting candles, praying for the dead. Let me take you to one verse that deals with all that nonsense. Isaiah chapter 1. Please go there. Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse 12. Because people, for as long as the world has been functioning, or malfunctioning after the fall, I should say, have been sinning against God, not obeying what God has said. Isaiah 1 and the verse 12. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand? Who hath required this at your hand? My friend, today you will make your own rules, your own thoughts, your own ways of obeying God. The Church of Rome is full of it. Men and women, if you're not saved, you'll be full of it as well. Things that you have said are obedience to God. And the Lord says, Isaiah 1:12, who hath required it? Who hath required this at your hand? God hasn't asked you to do it. God hasn't required it. There is many individuals, and they are very zealous in their religion. Whether it's pagan religion or modern religion today, where you love yourself and you love your whatever. There'll be plenty of people who are zealous about their religion. But this verse comes in attack. Who hath required at your hand? Let me tell you, Hitler was very, very zealous in his religion, in his thoughts and everything else. Did that make him right? No. God has said in his word what his will is. You see, the Lord has not left us guessing, men and women. We're not left to sit down and wonder, how do we enter into fellowship with God? How can God be pleased? How can God be satisfied? We're not left asking those questions. The word of God has answered. We do what God's word has commanded. Primarily, trust in Christ. Obey this book. What it says, you do it. Take this new incoming year, read through the Bible, and every day you seek, if God tells you to do something, you get it done. That's if you are his son. If you're a child of the devil, you won't want to do that. Very quickly, there was an old Puritan. His name is Thomas Watson. And he gave six categories of obedience. What is acceptable obedience? And you know, I think we'll leave them for another day, because I don't want to scan over them right now. We thought this morning about obedience to the Father. A father deserves obedience. And you will obey your Father. And I'm asking you again today not to tell me what you think about yourself. It's not what you say about yourself, Mars, it's what you do. And I'm asking you therefore today, are you obeying God or are you obeying the devil? The devil might not necessarily tell you to go out and murder millions, but he will persuade you not to obey God. Not to call upon God for salvation. Not to adhere to his commandments. To keep on with your relaxed lifestyle and just thinking someday everything will be all right. Those are all the lies of the devil. You will obey your Father. I trust today that you will obey God. There is acceptable obedience to the Father. And we'll look at that on another occasion.